Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel reading is from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, and it can be found on page 97 in the New Testament of your pew Bible or on the board behind me. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own go ahead with him, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep does not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Yesterday, I had a joy of flying, thanks to Dave and Loretta again. Wow, what an experience. I have flown many times big commercial flight airplanes, but yesterday I was the only passenger. I had a total confidence in the pilot, and it was amazing. I was able to take some photos of the church, and it was wonderful. My bucket list, one of the bucket list, checked. Some of you might ask, what's a bucket list? I can ask you this question, what's on your bucket list? Could be one or two or more, right? According to a dictionary, bucket list is defined as a list of things that one has not done before, but wants to do before kicking the bucket. What is the meaning of the kicking the bucket? Dying, I guess. Well, no one knows for sure where this expression of kick the bucket, but maybe one of the theories can be that during the Middle Age, when a criminal is being executed or committing a suicide, it was normally done through a hangman's noose. Then the bucket under the feet is being kicked and the person dies. So kick the bucket means to die. There was an American comedy drama movie entitled The Bucket List. Came out in 2008, starring Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. Have you ever seen that? Yeah. Two complete strangers meet in a hospital because they are both terminally ill. Then they go out on the road with a wish list of things to do before they kick the bucket. So their wish list is their bucket list. Since then, the expression bucket list became more popular. Do you have your own bucket list? How many have you checked so far? Probably many things to do still, or simply one or two, or empty. That's good. So what do you want to do before you die? Why thinking about your bucket list is important? Here is my sermon point number one. Remember that you only live once. In other words, YOLO, Y-O-L-O. You only live once, right? About 3 or 4 years ago, my wife and I decided to simplify our life. It was because we truly realized that we only live once since my own past sister's premature death. So we cleaned our closet, cleaned out closets, and found lots of stuff that we don't use. So we donated a lot of items to the church rummage sale. And no more holding or collecting only my wife's ceramic pieces and artworks and so forth. So we thought we simplified a lot. But when we moved to Riverside, I mean, we had to, you know, rent a U-Haul truck and so forth. We realized that we still had too much stuff. Even though we thought we were getting lots of the stuff and keeping only bare minimums and absolutely necessary furniture, still our possessions overwhelmed us. As we were trying to simplify our living, I was reminded of the book entitled Warden, Life in the Woods, written by Henry David Thoreau. I remember I read this book in English class something while attending in college a long time ago. This book is about a reflection upon simple living in the natural surroundings. In the book, one of the basic key points was simplify your life. It is true that our lives are extremely overwhelmed by excessive material possessions that can lead us to overly selfish, greedy lifestyles. Why? We forget this simple truth. You only live once. Someone said this, quote, "You only live once is literally a false statement. You live every day, you only die once," unquote. That's right. The Bible clearly warns us on this. Hebrews 9:27. "We die only once and then we are judged." So when you realize that you will die once someday, soon or later, you can live a good, meaningful life now and ever. Apostle Paul emphasizes in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Hashtag YOLO again. From this truth, your perspectives can change for the rest of your life. Number two, so from now on, is your life going to be a fun, mere fun life or a full life? That is the question. Only one life to live, so we better do it right. We better make it meaningful and fruitful. So I'm asking again, what's on your bucket list? What are the things you wish to do before you kick the bucket? Skydiving, bungee jumping, rock climbing, whatever you named it. Traveling to European countries or anywhere in the world. Of course, all these things in your bucket list could mean a lot to you. Yes, these bucket lists are really exciting and awesome opportunities if you can make them happen. However, in life, there are more important life opportunities than visiting most exotic and fantastic places on this planet Earth. Not that these are not good or not worthy. These are pretty much wonderful opportunities if you live a fun-filled life. However, God wants you to live not a fun, mere fun life only, but a full life. A life that is abundant, meaningful, purposeful, faithful, and fruitful. The last verse of John's Gospel this morning is verse 10. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. God desires us to enjoy our abundant life as long as we are breathing. Everyone, breathe. Inhale, exhale slowly. You know, God wants us to live a full life of spiritual abundance and helping others. Some people think that this term abundant life means a super healthy and super wealthy life. Well, not exactly, not really. Some fundamental Christians are teaching this kind of a so-called prosperity gospel message. In their doctrines and teachings, they don't have the cross or sacrifice or grace. They only have material blessings or physical healthy blessings. And no wonder these are called cheap grace, according to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. But the true abundant life in Christ can be only found what Jesus is teaching us. So my last point, number three, our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, offers us an abundant life. One of the most famous and well-memorized psalms is Psalm 23. Everyone knows this psalm. This psalm begins with this verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even though this psalm is a part of the Hebrew Bible, we as Christians know our good shepherd who loves us sacrificially through Jesus Christ. Yes, good shepherd is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. We shall not want. As long as we follow the ways of Christ, His teachings, His guidance, and His commandment, we can enjoy everything in Him. This Psalm 23 is always a favorite at a funeral or a memorial services, celebration of life. Last Friday, we had a wonderful also celebration of Martha's life. And this psalm is not just about we are trying to comfort the grieving family by picturing the deceased now dwelling in heaven with God's presence. Rather, this psalm is more about our abundant life in Christ's presence and care. Pay attention to the key words in Psalm 23. Green pastures, still waters, resting my soul. Fear no evil because God is with us and comfort us, feeds us, anointing with oil, cups are overflowing. Wow, what an awesome and peaceful picture of following the good shepherd. And the last verse concludes the psalm beautifully and confidently. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come to the good shepherd. Come to Jesus, for he will take care of you. Whatever problems, hardships, struggles, conflicts, or brokenness you have, come to Jesus. Come to the good shepherd. In Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus invites us, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The abundant life we can enjoy in Christ can lead us to bear the spiritual fruit in life. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 20 to 23, Apostle Paul proclaims, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Pay attention that this fruit is one fruit, singular, that has nine flavors, not nine different fruit. So your spiritual life, being led by the Holy Spirit, will lead you to bear this spiritual fruit, resulting these nine characteristics, not only in your own life, but also in other people's lives through your abundant life. In our faith journey, many Christians, even after experiencing new life in Christ, struggle and fight against sins and in repentance. If you are still struggling with the idea of being saved or forgiven, you need to move forward to a further step. You need to move to a mature level of Christian life. You need to be active, not passive. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about cleansing rites and laying of the on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. Absolutely, we need to move beyond the elementary teachings. We don't want to waste our precious time with this kind of elementary teachings. Rather, just as Philippians 2:5, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. That is the right way disciples of Jesus should follow. In John chapter 14:12, Jesus promises us this. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these. Hashtag YOLO again. You only live once, so we have to make it right. American actress Mae West once said, quote, "You only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough," unquote. That is right, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Unfortunately, you cannot undo your past life. It's the only one-time opportunity, and you have to make sure you don't waste it. You don't want to regret for the rest of your life, right? Your life is God's most precious gift for you. But you must follow the Good Shepherd in order to make your life worthy and delightful. No matter how many things in your bucket list, no matter how much fun and pleasure you want to enjoy for the rest of your life, remember this, you only live once. Let's follow Christ's way, because He is the gate to eternal life. Verse 9 from John, Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." If you don't listen to the Good Shepherd's voice or follow His commandments, what's going to happen to us? Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Yes, there are plenty of bad leaders, fake guys, and false teachers out there if you don't follow the Good Shepherd. Our Good Shepherd, Christ Jesus, gives us the abundant life. He said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Thanks be to God. Amen.